Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. One of the main themes in today's readings regards the commandments of God. Now, when I've spoken to children, especially when they're about to prepare for confession, usually I'll ask them if they know the Ten Commandments. And if they are homeschooled, usually, yes, they know all of them. If not, usually they can remember a few. Then I tend to ask them a harder question. I say, well, now can you tell me why God gave us the Ten Commandments? And usually they're not so quick to respond to that question. So I tell them the reason that God gave us the commandments is because he wants to protect us. The commandments of God protect us from our greatest enemy, which is sin. We heard today in the first reading this. Moses said to the people, "Now Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you." Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. God promised the Israelites, as they were wandering in the desert, that if they obeyed his commandments, they would safely enter in and take possession of the promised land of Palestine. It reminds us, actually, of something in the gospel where once there was a man who approached Jesus and asked him, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him this. He said, "If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Matthew 19, verse 17. So for the Israelites in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, well, for the Israelites in the Old Testament, God told them to observe the commandments so that they could take possession of the land. And in the New Testament, Jesus tells us that if we want to take possession of eternal life, of the land of paradise, then we have to keep the commandments of God as well. Why is that? Well, because the commandments, as we said before, they protect us from sin, which is the greatest enemy of our soul, and following God's commandments help us to grow in goodness and in virtue as well. Psalm 19 says this. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes." Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8. So in choosing to live according to God's commandments and his law, there's actually a real freedom that comes with that. It's a freedom which the world doesn't understand and which the world cannot give. It's the freedom of a clean conscience and of a life which is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Liberty or freedom is actually one of the perfections of God himself. God chose to create the universe, and he chose to create us. No one forced him to create. He wasn't lacking anything before creation. God freely chose to create us, and he chose to put us here on planet Earth instead of putting us on another planet or in another galaxy. Again, that was his free choice. One of the differences between our freedom and God's freedom is that God cannot choose to do something evil, but we can. Evil is actually an imperfection, whereas God is infinitely good. He's infinitely perfect, infinitely loving. For him to choose to do evil would actually mean that he would stop being God, and he can't stop being God. The Catechism of St. Pius X says that God can neither sin nor die, because being able to sin or to die is not an effect of power, but of weakness. And weakness cannot exist in God because he's most perfect. Sin, again, is a weakness. It's a disorder. It's a sign that something's just not right. In our freedom, we can sin. We can choose to do what's right in God's sight or choose to do what's evil, what's sinful. And every time we sin, we move further away from God, and we actually become more imperfect, we become more disordered, and we become less free. Why? Because we become slaves to sin. Now, it's not enough to hear what God says or to know about his commandments. We have to actually put them into practice. That's what St. James tells us. in the second letter today when he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves, James 1:22. Then in his letter, not in today's readings, but in his letter subsequently, St. James says that anyone who hears the word of God but does not embrace it or act on it is like someone who looks at themselves in a mirror and then they walk away and they completely forget what they look like. So it's like someone who has instant amnesia of who they are. Again, this kind of reminds us of another thing that Jesus said in the gospel, the parable of the sower, when he said that some of the seed that was sown by the sower fell on the path. And on the path, the birds came and they ate it up. You know, those are people who hear God's word, they hear his commandments, but immediately the devil takes it away from them and they go on continuing to live in spiritual darkness. And in the gospel today, Jesus warns us about disregarding God's commandments and putting human or cultural demands in their place. That was actually one of the sins of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus denounced them, saying, you disregard or abandon God's commandments, but cling to human tradition, Mark 7, verse 8. And we need to be very careful of this as well, making idols or false gods of human traditions or even cultural fads. You know, how many people today are actually afraid to say things which are politically incorrect because they don't want to be shamed by other people. If you notice, the politically correct people who are hypersensitive to what other people say are actually the people who are at the same time most quickly to trample on all of God's commandments without giving it a second thought. So we need to be careful and keep that in mind and not walk blindly according to the dictates of our culture, because many things which our culture preaches are actually wrong in God's eyes. We need to follow and embrace God's teachings and his law in the face of peer pressure, in the face of social pressure, in the face of public pressure, and in the face of a decadent culture which has no love for God. Now, in order to follow God's commandments, to do his will, the faith has to be something which is a part of our everyday life, not just going to Mass on Sunday or simply attending Catholic school. No, I really need to embrace what Jesus teaches. I need to become a person of prayer. I need to form myself in the faith by reading and by studying the catechism, by reading the lives of the saints, or by reflecting and meditating on Scripture. I need to say no to filling my mind and my soul with godless entertainment, to wasting hours a day on the internet or on Facebook. I need to say no also to activities which are sinful. I need to disassociate myself from people who encourage me to sin or cause me to sin or just don't respect my faith. I need to say yes, on the other hand, to performing works of mercy, to spending my time wisely. I need to learn to be of service to others as Jesus himself was during his earthly ministry. It is in saying yes to God and his commandments and saying no to sin and to the culture of death that I find true freedom, true joy, and lasting peace, even in the midst of life's difficulties. It's exactly what Our Lady did as well. You know, her yes to God at the Annunciation was a yes to life, to love, to freedom, and that yes, she continued and she renewed it every day and every moment of her life as well. So if we're having trouble saying yes to any or to all of God's commandments, let's ask Our Lady to help us. She'll enlighten us and she'll give us the grace and the strength to embrace God's freedom by learning to obey his commandments. Praised be Jesus and Mary.